so good to be in the house of the Lord, and I sure enjoyed that song service. Amen. Just good singing. And I really appreciate just everyone just, you know, being at your post of duty and having a I'm not going to say just having a desire to serve the Lord, but yielding to that desire. You know, because we all have it. There's many people have the desire, but they don't do nothing with it.
That's
you know,
right.
We got to yield to it. And I just tell you what, I'm just real thankful to be here.
Amen.
Real thankful to be a Christian. Thankful to have a group of people that we can come together and just worship with and talk to. And sometimes you want to talk about the Lord, nobody wants to hear about it. If you get find someone wants to hear about it, it's kind of good, ain't it? Amen. I want to speak to you on a little thought this evening. What have I become? What have I become? And let's go to Proverbs chapter 4, verses 25 through 27. And I got a little ways to go, so I'm going to try to keep a steady beat if the Lord will help me. I don't want to get ahead of him. I want to stay right behind him. I just want to watch him. I don't want to turn to the left. I don't want to turn to the right. I just want to focus. Just march with him. Amen. Proverbs chapter 4, verses 25 through 27. Let thine eyes look right on. Let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. And just real quickly, that word established in that scripture comes from the word kun. That's in the words K-U-N. It's a primitive word, properly meaning to erect. It means to be hence. It means to set up. It's a great variety of applications, whether literal or figurative. It means to confirm, to direct, faithfulness, fashion, to fasten, to firm, to be fitted, to be fixed, to frame, to meet, to ordain, to order, to perfect. Preparation, prepare, provide, or make provision. To make ready, to establish, to stand, to tarry. I want to do those things.
Amen.
To be established. Let's go to another scripture in Proverbs 15:22. Just one scripture. And I didn't realize I had all these scriptures in Proverbs until I went to write them down. I'm like, wow, I didn't realize that. It went on purpose. It's just kind of the way the Lord led me. Without counsel, purposes are disappointed. But in a multitude of counselors, they are established. And that word established comes from the word kun also. And in this one, it's actually Q-U-M, not K-U-N. It's Q-U-M. And this word means to abide. It means to accomplish. It means to clear, make it clearer. To be confirmed, to continue, it means to decree, it means to endure, it means to enjoin, it means to get up, it means to make good, to help, to hold, to lift up, to make, to ordain, to perform, to pitch, to raise, to remain, to rouse up, to set, to establish, to strengthen, to succeed. And let's go to one more scripture in Proverbs 20:28. And if you go back and read those scriptures, you'll understand why I think that's so important to read those verses of definitions of what that word means to establish. So there's a difference. In Proverbs 20:28, one scripture says, "Mercy and truth preserve the king, and his throne is upholden by mercy." And that word upholden comes from shod, which means to support, to comfort, to establish, to hold up, to refresh self, to strengthen, to be upholden. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we love you this evening, and we want to thank you for this opportunity to be here in your name, Lord. And Lord, I just thank you for your word, Lord. I thank you that you give us a desire for your word, Lord. And we ask you that you would come and break bread with us tonight, Lord. That you would be the main focus, Lord Jesus. Because, Lord, we don't want a service where we hear a bunch of words and we go home and that's all we get, Lord. But we desire you, Lord. Would you come and be in our midst now, in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You can be seated. We need leadership. You say amen?
Amen.
You know, we want to be established in the right way. We want to build ourselves. We want to be built up. We want to build our set ourselves in the right direction, and we want to focus on going in the right way. You know, Matthew 24, verses 35, it says, "Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away." And the word of God is to stabilize the believer. Generations have passed, ideas have passed, man's ideas have evolved, they have changed. A medical has evolved. You know, one time they pulled the toenail off of George Washington to drain a pint of blood to try to and that's actually history, to try to find out, to heal the sickness that was on him. And, well, you don't do that anymore. Thank the Lord. It's involved. But, you know, the word is changed. It's not changed. The word is absolutely the same. And that's, I just love the word of God. I'm going to go one more scripture. It's in Proverbs 14, 11 through 12. The scripture says, the house of the wicked shall be overthrown, but the tabernacle of the upright shall flourish. There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. You know, God delivers by faith, and without faith it is impossible to please God.
Right.
You know, Cain was very sincere in his worship, but he was sincerely wrong. And God required the blood of the Lamb, as we know, and that was the only way that God would meet man, is under the shed blood, and it is still where God will meet man, is under the shed blood. You see, amen.
Amen.
It's so important. And let's go to just a quick quote, and we'll try to get into what we're trying to say. He says, no place will God ever meet any worshiper, only under the blood. That's his only place. We try to make him meet under our theology, under our denomination, under our educational programs, build towers, build some cities, Babylon, the Tower of Babel, and different kinds of things. But it still remains, God only meets the true worshiper under the blood. He never changes it. We can't all be Methodists. We can't all be Pentecostals. We can't all be this, that, or the other. We'll disagree. But when I come to a man, let him be Catholic, priest, or whatever he is. When he is under that blood, we are brothers. I don't care where he's at, as long as we're under the blood. And that's from the token in 64. You know, that's one thing about this message that about me. It makes me want to put my arms around one another. You know, when I see somebody, I don't care if you're Catholic, Pentecostal, or whatever you are, I am your brother. I love you. And I want us to make it. I want us to get another side. And I believe you feel the same way. You know, when he's talking about, we don't want you to just try to say we're Methodist, Catholic. And I want to say this. We don't want to say we're a message believer either. Because, you know, you can do that. You can fall under that exact same banner. But I believe that she puts a love in our heart where we love our brothers and our sisters. Amen.
Amen.
It would be so good for us to examine whether our feet are going in the right path. And we're speaking again, and what have I become? There was a bum on the street Brother Branham talked to one time, and saw him, asked him, how did you get in this position? This man was sitting there with his old ragged clothes on. I think many of you may know the story. Brother Branham spoke to the interpreter. Hey, how did you get here? And the man said, I once was the president of that bank over there. I wasn't always this way. And the man looked at the interpreter and said, are you serious? He said, yes, absolutely. And what happened was, the man had he received a Dear John letter. His wife had left him and left a note for him. And from that day forward, he became a different person.
Right.
And, you know, and that, I just, it just really just sticks my heart. And, you know, from that time on, he becomes something different. And I love the Bible, and I believe it is a pure form. I believe the message. I believe it's pure in a pure form. But, you know, whenever the Bible is changed to someone else's interpretation, I don't believe that Bible, the gospel that they were presenting, no more than I do the message of what many people have made the message today.
Right.
What you make that message and what I hear about that, I would hate that. It's demoralized. It's, to me, it's critical. It's something that tears down people. That's not the message I believe. That's not the interpretation of the Bible, I believe. I believe it's right down the middle of the road. There is a genuine revelation of Jesus Christ.
Right.
Amen. And that's what I believe each one of you, that's your desire of your hearts. That is why we persevere on a daily basis, is because we love him, the presence, the person, Jesus Christ. Amen. So man has had a tendency to add his own pet peeves and his own convictions down the ages, not just now, all down through the ages. And man has had his way of adding his own commandments and killing the effect of the word in the people's lives. In St. Mark chapter 7, verses 6 through 13, Jesus, he says, he answered and said unto them, well hath Isaiah prophesied unto you hypocrites, as it is written, this people honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Howbeit in vain do they worship me, and teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. For laying aside the commandments of God, you hold the tradition of men, as the washing of pots and cups, and many other such like things you do. He said unto them, full well you reject the commandment of God, that you may keep your own tradition. For Moses said, honor thy father and thy mother. Whoso curseth the father or thy mother, let him die the death. But ye say, if a man shall say to his father or his mother, it is Corban, that is to say, a gift, by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me, he shall be free. And you suffer him no more to do aught for his father or his mother. making the word of God of none effect through your tradition, which you have delivered, and many such like things you do. Think of it. The scripture tells him how you honor your father and your mother, and because of their traditions, they're making it where you don't do things for your mother and your father. And the point I'm trying to make about this is, even with the message of the hour, the most wonderful thing that we've given, a lot of times I'm afraid men have taken this message and they're using it in the wrong way, and it makes you where you don't love each other anymore. You're mean to them. You cut them off. We don't cut people off, brothers. We draw them back into our circle.
Amen.
You know, we love them. And when I say these, I'm not talking about here. I believe Brother Tony is as right down the road as you could possibly get. And I thank God for you, Brother Tony.
Amen.
Thank you for doing that. I have to tell the truth and exactly how I believe it to see, because if I don't, I'm going to stand before the Lord one day and I'm going to give account for what I say and what I don't say.
Right.
This message is wonderful in its pure form. But brother and sister, all around us, it has been tainted. There's been many men with good intentions, with sincerity, but they're sincerely wrong. And you know, and I want to ask you this question and ask even the message, what have we become? Amen. 2 Corinthians 13:5, it says, examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know you not your own selves how that Jesus Christ is in you, except you be reprobates? What have I become? We meet people that seem like they never change, like Brother Kenneth. That brother looks like he's the exact same he was 25 years ago. But you know what? If you were to talk to Brother Kenneth, he's not the same. He's changed throughout time. From 25 years ago, he's a different person than what he is. And every one of you, you are a different person than who you were 10 years ago. You are a different person than you were 3 years ago. But I want to ask you to be sincere within yourself, be honest with yourself, and ask yourself, what have I become? You know, it's one thing to look at somebody else, see what they're doing wrong. It's another thing, or see where their accomplishments. It's another to see our accomplishments. I want to know at the end of my road that I have run my race well. Amen.
Right.
I believe that's your desire too.
Amen.
We will be better, or we will be worse, but we will not remain the same, because life changes you. Back to St. Matthew 19, verses 16 through 22. I'm going to try to move quickly, so just try to stay with me, okay? And behold, one came and said unto him, good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? He said unto him, why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. He said unto me, which? Jesus said, thou shalt do no murder, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, honor thy father and thy mother, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. The young man said unto him, all these things I have kept from my youth. What lack I? This man knew he was lacking something. Jesus said unto him, if thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast, give to the poor, that thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. This was a man that was absolutely sincere. Come before Jesus Christ, and what must I do to have eternal life? Jesus tells him, these are the commandments. Do these commandments. Follow these things. Do these things. He said, I've done these things from my youth. Jesus says, one thing thou lackest, sell all that thou hast and give it to the poor. And we saw the scripture where he walked away sorrowfully. I mean, many people will take this ball and run with it and say, now you shouldn't have a house, you shouldn't have a car, you shouldn't have these things because Jesus said that. That's not what Jesus was talking about. This man had something inside his heart that he was not surrendering to the Lord.
Right.
And brother and sister, that's what it is. It may be toothpicks. If toothpicks, as silly as that is, if that's what you're not laying before the Lord and God's dealing with you about getting rid of that and you refuse that, you are rejecting the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. This man was sincere. He wanted to be saved, but he had one door in his heart. He just did not want to surrender. It wasn't that this very person, every person is going to sell anything, but you need to surrender all of your heart before the Lord. I want to go to St. Luke chapter 16, verses 19 through 24. I'm going to try to stay on track with this, not rabbit truck tonight, okay? There was a certain rich man which was clothed with purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. There was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which lay at his gate full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried to the angels into Abram's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, seeing Abraham afar off and Lazarus in the bosom. He cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. This was the same man. This was a man that was sincere not too long before, that come, and then, think of it, it was God in flesh standing right in front of him where he could literally touch him. And he said, what must I do to be saved? What must I do? And he told him what to do, and he turned it down. Right. And he had no idea at that moment what he had become. From that day forth, that man was becoming a new man. He was becoming something different. What caused it? It was because the word addressed something. I want you, this is so important that we catch this. The word addressed something in his life, and he rejected the word. Brother and sister, when the Holy Spirit is dealing with our heart, it is so important that we yield to that Holy Spirit and acknowledge you are a holy God. To the point of whenever Moses went before the burning bush, he took his shoes off his feet because this was a holy God he was coming in. May we reverence the presence of God.
Amen.
To reject life is death. And from that time on, his life becomes something different than the word. There are many men in prisons that wanted to be a preacher, and I know many of them. I know a few of them. I know them personally, that they wanted to be a preacher. They wanted to serve God. They wanted to go to church. They wanted to do things that were right. And now they're on death row. Are there some of them that are in prison and that have gone so far off base? What happened from somewhere down the road from that time on? They went down the wrong path.
Right.
Brother and sister, every one of us will have a from that time on, for the good or for the bad. We'll get to the good in a little bit. Something happened. There was a man by the name of Eli in the scriptures that once was so diligent before the Lord. Eli, without a doubt, was called of God. He was sincere. He is somewhere down the line. I imagine he was probably first to church. Even whenever he was a young lad, he probably started taking up offerings. He probably started maybe singing specials. Who knows? We don't really know about the history of how Eli come about. But we do know in the scriptures where it talks about how somewhere down the road, Eli began to let things slip. And his sons, to the point of doing absolute sin in front of the house, and he would not address his kids. And because he did not do that, from that time on, somewhere happened, brother and sister, Eli became something that he did not want to be.
Right.
There was a time way back in when Eli would have been so sincere before God, because why? He had a call in his heart to do something for God. You know, he had something inside him. I want to serve God's people. I want to do things for the Lord. I want to do these things. Somewhere down the road, something happened.
Right.
Somewhere down the road, the word began to deal with his heart, and he rejected it, and he loved his sons more than he loved the Lord.
Amen.
Oh, God, help us to not do that.
Amen.
Help us to take counsel tonight.
Amen.
Help us to say, Lord God, I want to put you first before everything.
Amen.
As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. The children of Israel started out on Egypt following God. Something happened down the road. Think of it. They were in bondage. God set them free. Somewhere down the road, they got their eyes on Dathan. They got their eyes on Korah. They got their eyes on all these things. Somewhere down the road, brother and sister, from that time on, they become something different. They had something real. They were sincere. But something happened. And because something happened, they woke up down here, down the road. See, how did I get here? How did I become this? What have I become? Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Then I think about how Rahab, she was living a life identified as a prostitute, and there come a day of decision in her life that from her, from that day forth, whenever she had an opportunity of deliverance, she held on to that deliverance, and from that day forth, Rahab becomes something good. And it was all about her decisions.
Amen.
It was about what she accepted in her present moment. You know, I'm reminded just real quickly how Brother Brenham talked about Abraham Lincoln signing the pardon paper.
Okay.
Simple piece of paper writing, I pardon this man. And because the man would not reject it because it was too simple, the man died.
Okay.
Sometimes God wants to give you just as simple as can be and saying, look, it's this simple. Rahab had a decision in her life. All she had to do was, she could have just as well turned that off and say, you know what? God's dealing with my heart, but you know, I'll continue as I am. But there was something inside her that says, I cannot sit over the life that I've been living. Think of Paul. Paul started as a Pharisee of Pharisees, killing Christians, doing the things that he did. There come a decision in Paul's life whenever Paul was confronted with the pillar of fire. And what Paul's decision was with that opportunity, look where Paul ended up. Look what Paul become. There was Peter. Peter was a man that started out wrong. How many of you started out wrong? Absolutely. Peter started out wrong. God called him. He began to walk with Jesus, talk with Jesus, eat with Jesus. And it come to a time to where he even told Peter, before it ever happens, you're going to deny me, Peter. You're going to curse while you're doing it. How, and we can look at the scriptures and say, how could Peter turn down Jesus Christ? How could he walk away from him? It was so clear that this is the Messiah. It was so clear before Peter, but yet he did. If you think spiritual, brother and sister, you'll see this happen today. They have done it again. Jesus was Peter was standing right there with him, and it comes to the point where it says Peter, whenever he says before the calls thrice, or how he says that, he says, you're going to deny me and you're going to curse while doing it. After Peter had done it, it's the scripture says he wept bitterly before God. Right. After Peter had denied the Lord, it says he wept bitterly. Yeah. Brother and sister, how many people have turned away from this message and say, you know what, it's not for me. And you say, oh, I never did that. But have you?
Right.
With your words and with your actions. The scripture talks about how they will obey with their lips, but their heart is far from it. Mm-hmm. Brother and sister, the message is absolutely pointing to this Bible. It is to the presence of Jesus Christ. It is so important that we acknowledge that. Because I'm trying to get something here to point across. It's so easy to see the message. See, that's the message, and then you got the presence of Jesus Christ over here. And you're making it two different things. It's not two different things. It's one and the same.
Right.
And that's what's so important, because a lot of times because Jesus looked at the Pharisees one time, he said, you think you have the words of eternal life, but they're there that testify of me. See, we want to behold the real presence of Jesus Christ, where I know who my shepherd is. I know who the Lord is. I know because I am talking to him. I am established in him. I've been growing in his word. I am his wife. We can say I'm his wife. I'm the bride of Jesus Christ. Not because I'm of an emotion, but in my heart, I know I'm the bride of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
I know. That's my sweetheart right there. I know it is.
Right.
I'm going to give you just a little just real quickly. I remember, brother, sister, I remember when I realized that Daniel had not died. Daniel had not died. I remember when my poor, beautiful wife was pregnant. And we were under so much stress, and she was trying to make me something to eat, and we didn't have any money. We're broke all the time. Feels that way sometimes, don't it? Broke all the time. And she's trying to prepare us something to eat, and I remember she was pregnant there, and I was tired going through the labors of just life, of just struggling, and I remember going through there, and I opened my lunch box, and it was just like one sandwich. Cut in half, you know. I got half the sandwich, and she got the other half, and you know, just a little bag of chips. And I remember looking at that, and I remember saying, "I said this ain't enough to feed me." I'm like, "Look at me! I need to eat. I need food." And I'm caring about her feelings at all, and I just didn't even realize how belittling I made my little sweetheart. And I remember she was to my side and behind me, and I remember I was looking at the food, and I was thinking about my frustrations. I'm like, me, I gotta eat. I'm a grown boy. I'm fixing to work 15, 16 hours. How am I gonna live off this? And I felt something. I looked over, and my precious sweetheart was just, she just collapsed, sitting in her chair, and she just broke down crying. And I saw right then, what in the world have I become? I can tell you the Bible, I can quote scriptures, I can quote the message, but I don't even know how to treat my poor sweetheart. And I looked at her, and she was sitting there, and I got down on my knees, and I said, baby, I am so sorry. I'm so sorry. You don't deserve this. You don't deserve to have to deal with this. And we had a little tin shed behind that house. It was middle of the summertime. And I went back to that house, and I felt so ashamed, and all I could see was my baby. She's my heart. She's everything that I have is her.
And I just shouted her. And I remember I went to that building in the back, brother and sister. I opened that door. And I said, God, I'm not leaving here until you change me. It was hot inside there, and I found me just a place I could go. And I didn't care. It was dust and everything. I sat right there at my knees, and I just poured my heart out to God. And I said, God, you're going to have to change who I am. Because I cannot, I do not want to become this. I do not want to become a person that can quote scriptures, that can quote messages and do all kinds of things. And you can't even do the simplicity. I knew I needed to change, brother and sister. I'm going to tell you something. I got down on my knees and I got serious before God. And I said, God, I'm not leaving here until you change me. You make me a new person. You change me, Lord, that where my nature is your nature. Where I'm sick of looking for emotions. You know, a lot of times people will pray. And you're like, well, I'm going to pray until I feel the oil, or I feel this, or I feel that. A lot of times you don't even know what you're looking for. You know, don't look for emotions. You do it. You just got to say, God, I want you to change who I am from the inside out. Make me a new person.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you something, brother. I left that day a new person. I left there, that little shed out there probably didn't have an ounce of dryness on me. And a little bit, and it didn't happen all at once, brother. I'm going to tell you something. There comes some time later on and things would happen and my wife would say, babe, there's something different. She said, that was a time when that would have made you mad. There was a time when you would have been so angry. And I said, I'm sorry. Are you going to get mad? Sometimes. Scripture says, get angry and sin not.
Right.
This guy right here is going to fight you all the days of your life.
That's right.
But listen to me, brother and sister. A lot of people, we want deep, deep stuff. We need to get deep, deep love. You know what? Well, we know how. Well, we have a love toward one another. Where it's a connection with one another is whenever you see somebody and you've got a desire for somebody else to serve the Lord.
Amen.
Brother and sister, you want to talk about deep? That's deep.
Amen.
There's a lot of people that will have the quotes and all these things, and there ain't a thing wrong with it. I think that's wonderful. There's parts of it. There's parts for it, and I think it's good. I think it's great. But listen to me, we need more of that love.
Amen.
Because love will touch more lives, brother and sister,
Amen.
Than quotes. You can quote somebody to death and you won't get a thing from it, but you can show the love and the compassion. You listen to the stories where unbelievers, we're talking about Brother Bunn. They don't say, my goodness, he won't mind. He spoke so deep I couldn't hardly understand what he was saying.
Amen.
Not one problem. But you know what they say? He was the most humble man I've ever met. Mm-hmm. He had such a love about him. He had such a compassion about him. And whenever Brother Bunn, and there's not a thing wrong with screaming. Listen to me, there's a balance in it. But you know what? It's not about the screaming. It's not about the shouting. It's not about whenever you go to lay hands on something and you pray and you got to just scream. Hey, that's how you pray. You do you. But it's believing.
Amen.
It's about loving.
Amen.
Listen, it's what Brother Brennan said. It's where you want to put your foot beside that other person and you can feel what they're going through.
Amen.
When I'm praying for somebody in a prayer line, that's what I have to. If I don't feel for that person, I feel like I am wasting my time. So I'm not trying to speak against it, but those fast prayer lines where they have fast, where everyone just goes through so fast, that's why I don't like those, because I feel like I don't have enough time to get a hold of the person and really feel what I can really pray for. I'll say, hey, you got to do what you got to do, because Scripture says lay hands on the sick. And I'll speak it against it. I thought the prayer line the other night was good, the other morning.
Yeah.
I'm trying to say, my heart is saying, what have I become? What has this message become? And what have we made it?
Right.
Brother and sister, it should be that when somebody comes through that door, or someone comes through the door of our house, they should be, it don't matter if they are this high in the gospel or that high in the gospel, they should leave edified.
Amen.
That's right.
They should be able to receive something from that, from us, of showing it's true. I wish I got my phone with me, but I'll get the point across. I can turn a light on. Turn the light out. Got a flashlight. It don't matter if you're white, black, red, yellow, green. That's light.
That's right.
Brother and sister, and I'm here to tell you, that's truth.
Amen.
That's right.
It don't matter if you're coming from Catholic, Baptist, Pentecostal, somebody that's never heard it in your life, it's truth. And whenever you're shining true, they must testify. That's light. Brother and sister, if we are ever presenting something where they can't say, I don't know what in the world that is, there's something wrong. Brother and sister, I want, and this is my desire in my heart. I feel the Lord has laid on my heart so much, is that there is a pure message. And I believe we got the best of the best. Brother Tony preaches straight as forward. You know, the scripture talks about to the righteous, all things are righteous. To the defiled, all things are defiled. So, what are you talking about, Brother Daniel? It's whenever your heart is pure before the Lord, and your heart is pure before God, and something is presented to you, you're going to receive it as righteous. You're going, because your heart is pure, your mind is pure.
That's right.
But listen to me, if you've got things in your heart that's wrong, and no matter what comes to you, it will come across defiled.
That's right.
And you will feel like people are judging you, they're tearing you down, they're talking about this. It is nothing but the stinky thinking in your ears. Listen to me, but that we are fighting a devil. And that devil will try so hard to bring schisms in the body. Listen to me, Lot, I believe there was a time when Lot would say, Uncle Abram, can I come sit in your lap? Uncle Abram, can I follow you? Uncle Abram, can I go with you to go herd the sheep? Uncle Abram, can I go with you? I imagine there was a time in Lot's life he wanted to be with Uncle Abram. There was something about him. What was it? Because you know what? Lot, he loved the Lord. Okay? Abram was God's prophet that God put on the earth. He was God's voice of that hour. But to Lot, he was not a prophet. To Lot, he was Uncle Abram. And whenever he'd see Abraham going through the day, there was a time when whenever Lot wanted to be with Abraham. But listen to me, somewhere down the road, he got his off. Something happened. He lost the respect of who that man was, of the calling that was on that man's life. And because he lost that, there come a time of the separation of the herds, because Abraham's herds and Lot's herds began to fight. And Abraham said, you go to the left, you go to the right, I'll go the opposite direction. How many knows the scripture I'm talking about?
Right. Right.
Lot, the uncle Abraham that he used to have, no longer wanted to have his eyes on Abraham. He went to Sodom, and what did he do? He pitched his tent towards Sodom. And here he was, pitching his tent. At one time, he was Uncle Abraham. At one time, he loved Abraham. At one time, when Abraham spoke, he said, hey, listen, Abraham's fixing to speak. He got a word from the Lord. Let's listen to what he's got to say. There was one time he had a respect for him. But somewhere down the road, he began to lose the respect. And because he'd lost the respect, he had gotten to a point where he had fallen all the way to Sodom, where he was pitching his tent towards Sodom. And listen to me, because he was pitching his tent towards Sodom, his family began to take on the effects of Sodom.
That's right.
And listen to me, that's what will happen to believers' homes if you get your eyes off of the message, get your eyes off of the word, and you begin to pitch your tent towards Sodom, your family will take on the form of Sodom. Listen to me, we must keep our eyes focused on the counsel that God has put in this hour.
Amen.
God has thoroughly vindicated. He thoroughly vindicated in Paul's day. This is the prophet. This is the message. If any man or angel preach any other gospel, he's accursed. God thoroughly made it clear.
Amen.
And today, 7 times around the world, God vindicated. This is my voice. This is not a man. This is my voice. And we must behold that counsel, brother and sister. Because if you don't, one day at a time, you will find yourself pitching yours in towards Sodom. And one morning, you'll wake yourself up and you're going to church and you're going to find out you got left behind. And you will be sitting there and you will be asking yourself, what have I become? There was a time I would sing songs. There was a time I would be glad to get to church. I was sincere. But somewhere down the road, the Lord was speaking to my heart and trying to deal with me. And I said, I'm not dealing with that. Anytime God began to deal with their heart and they turned around, they become wonders. Brother and sister, we are not called to that. We are called to a glorious message. Oh, God, help the fivefold ministry in this hour. Don't preach your pet peeves or make doctrines, commandments of men. Show me that word right down the road.
Amen.
Right down the middle. Amen. I think of Samson. Samson was a man with God's call in his life. And Samson did the miraculous. He wasn't a big muscled up guy. As you know, he was a little short sissy boy. But when the Spirit of the Lord got on that man, he could rip off the gates of the cities. He could take the jawbone of an ass and kill the enemy, thousands. When the Spirit of the Lord was on him. But what did he do? Samson kept letting the world in. He kept allowing Delilah to suck him in. Delilah was not some ugly woman. But with all my heart, Delilah was somebody that was very attractive. It was something that would draw him over. Samson knew what he should do. Samson knew he needs to keep his heart pure before the Lord. Samson knew I need to stay within the camp that God called me to be in. I need to keep moving forward, keep my eyes on the council. But what did he do? Delilah kept pulling him over. And listen to me, he would get pulled over and he'd get free. And he'd go back, well, I got away with it. Here come Delilah again, pulling him over. Oh, I got away with it. Go right back again. That devil will allow you to get by. You think that devil don't know what he's doing? He will allow you. He will entice you. I got away with it. I'm okay. I got away with it. I'm okay. There come a time, brother and sister, he didn't get away. Right. And that time when he done that, I imagine Samson, when they took his eyeballs out and put him, I don't remember what you call it, but the big log that he would push and his eyes were out, been led by a child. And I imagine Samson was asking himself, what have I become? And all he can do is push. What have I become? All I can do is what's right in front of me, just pushing this. What have I become? But God is so merciful. He said, Lord, they put him up on the pillars, and he said, Lord, one more time. If you'll come by my way one more time, Lord. One more time. Come speak to my heart, Lord. One more time, Lord. Bring your Spirit down into my life, Lord. One more time. And I want to ask you in your heart, and I don't care if you're hearing it today. I don't care if you're hearing it in the days of come. You take these words of Brother Daniel and let it anchor down in your heart. One more time, Lord. One more life. I know I've walked away. I know I made these mistakes. I know I acted a fool. I know I did these things. I know I did that. I don't want to make excuses, God. I did it. God, forgive me. The best thing you can do is to be honest before God and say, Lord, I ask you one more time. One more time, Lord, go to these congregations throughout the night and open the wake them up in prayer. One more time, Lord, when they're going to work. One more time, visit them, Lord, that you'll shake their hearts. Lord, one more time as the mothers are doing dishes or doing changing the babies. One more time, Lord, bring your Spirit down and move upon their hearts. Amen. Lord, one more time, do these things, Father.
Amen.
Just a couple more minutes, I promise I'll be done, okay? I know I've shared this story before, but I just feel so impressed in my heart today. There was another little boy that I had heard about years ago. He lived with his grandparents. And he loved his grandpa very much. He'd go fishing with him. He'd go hunting with him. He was grandpa. And there ain't nothing like a godly grandma and grandpa.
That's right.
They took him into his home and he'd go hunting, he'd go fishing, he taught him all kinds of things, and he loved him. If you were to ask him, is there anything that you wouldn't do for your grandma and grandpa? Absolutely not. I love my grandma and my grandpa. I love them. I'd do anything for them. But somewhere down the road, something happened. And he began to disrespect his grandma. He began to disrespect his grandpa. It did not happen overnight. It was little by little by little by little. A disrespect, a disrespect, a disrespect. And it come to a point where he hit his own grandpa. Grandpa come to him and says, get the chores done. He says, I ain't doing that. I'm not doing that. And he ended up hitting his own grandpa.
And his grandpa goes back inside the house and talks to his wife and says, we have no choice. We have to tell him. You can't stay here. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord.
Amen.
And this man, without a doubt, had an attitude when he left. He was angry. Without a doubt, he'd tell everybody he talked to, they kicked me out of the house. They don't love me. They say they're Christians. They say they got doing it. They say they got that. They kicked me out of the house. But he didn't tell the whole story.
Right.
And listen, there's a lot of people left. They don't tell the whole story. This man left, and years goes down the road, and this man changed. God gets a hold of him. You know, God had been dealing with him all of his life, but had come a time when this man came to a full surrender, and this man came to a point where he fully surrendered to God, and he was on the train, and he was going down the tracks, and he was weeping, sitting in the chair, and the old man sitting in front of him, and he said, son, he said, what's wrong with you, if you don't mind me asking? He said, I'm a minister. And it's something about a Christian. When you see somebody in distress, you want to help them. Have you ever noticed
that?
You have something. When you see, so you see it in their eyes, there's something about it. They're going through something. And this little boy, there was this little boy, this man, was going down the road, and that old man looked at him. He said, son, what's wrong with you? What's happened to you? Why are you crying? He said, you know what? He said, years ago, I used to love my grandma and my grandpa. Years ago, I would serve him. I would do all that I could. It's become a point where I hit my own grandpa. And he said, here, and he had to tell me to leave until you can abide by the rules. You got to go. And that man looked at him. He said, so I give my heart to Jesus. I've surrendered my heart to the Lord. I've made things right. I've made things where I said, Lord, forgive me. I don't want to do this. I don't want to become that. The old man is dead. I'm a new person. I believe the boy probably got pretty excited talking about it. He said, but I'm going home now. He said, that's what, and the man looked at him and said, son, I don't mean this mean. He said, but I want to ask you something. What makes you think they're going to let you come home? You did hit him. I know you made things right with God, but what makes you think they're going to let you come back? He said, you know, I thought of it. He said, I wrote him a letter. And the train tracks goes right by the house. There's trees sitting there, big old trees. He said, I asked him, I said, Lord, I gave my heart to Jesus, I've made things right, and I want to come home. And I want to ask you to forgive me. He said, and if you will forgive me, if you'll take one white ribbon and put it on that tree, I'll know that you forgave me and I'll come home. And if I don't see a white ribbon, I'll keep on going down the road and I'll never look back. And they're going down the tracks and he's beginning to go up the hill and he looked at him and he said, I can't even look at it. He said, can you tell me what you see going over the tracks? And the old man said, son, he said, there ain't just one ribbon on that tree. He said, there's ribbons all over the tree. He said, your grandma and your grandpa are standing out there with a white sheet and they're waving that sheet. They're saying, come on. Come on home, son. We're waiting for you. Listen to me, brothers and sisters. We got family that are lost. And you know what? We need to remember when they make things right. You don't remind them what they did wrong. You say, come home. Come on, we're going home. Son, come home. Daughter, come home. Grandson, come home. Listen to me. If you're going to the grocery store and you see somebody, you say, come home. Because you know, listen to me, brother, sister, judgment is coming upon this earth and we are the way of escape. We are the mercy seat. That's why we got to be the ones that say, you are forgiven. He cares about you. God loves you. You are so special. You are so important.
Amen.
Oh, God, help us. Let's all stand to our feet. Ashley, Tony, go ahead and prepare to come forward. Brother and sister, I want to beckon you that we will look deep within our hearts and say, Lord, help me to wave my flag for the people. Help me to wave a flag of mercy where I can show somebody, hey, you're forgiven. God loves you. God cares about you. And listen to me, under the sound of my voice, if you walked away, you spoke against this man, you spoke against the Bible, you spoke against your brother, listen to me, you just repent and get back in line.
Right.
You say, God, forgive me, and get back in line. Brother Tony, come forward. I'll just ask every head to be bowed, if you don't mind, just for a moment. Just be honest before the Lord tonight.
Is there somebody that we can do different to? Is there somebody that we can say, Lord God, I've got loved ones that are lost. Lord, I don't want just faith to restore a leg or a broke finger. God, I want faith that you will reach that soul. Lord sees your hands up, and I'm telling you what, mine are up too, brothers and sisters, and I'm praying, God, let me be the revival of mercy. Oh God, I humble myself before your face tonight, Lord. Lord, I want to finish this race well, Lord. Lord, the hands that went up across this building, Lord, every one of us, we've got loved ones, Lord, that are lost, Father. I've got a mom. I've got brothers, Lord, they're lost, Lord. Lord, there's people in here got kids that are lost, Father. They're out in the world. They're wayward, Lord. And Lord, there's cousins. There's uncles, Lord. And Lord, I ask you that you would just come. And Lord, that you would just deal with our hearts, Lord. That we could live humble before you, Lord. That we would live a life, Lord, of humility, Father. Lord, that we could, Lord, as I remember reading what the prophet said today, that if you will obey the Lord, that welcomes the presence, Lord. And Lord God, I ask you, Father, to help us to be that token, Lord, in this hour. Help us to be that mercy, Lord, the hands that went up across this building, Lord. I ask you to do with every heart, Lord, that you bring your spirit, Lord, in such a fervency, Lord. That we don't want to be quoters, Lord. We want to be livers, Father. I ask you, Lord Jesus, have mercy. In Jesus' name.
Father, I call on your name, Lord. I ask you, Jesus, that you would have mercy, Lord, that you'd give this sister total victory, Father. Lord, that she can claim the authority that you've given her, Lord. Oh, God, that she created atmosphere everywhere she goes, Lord. Give her a love, Father, that she never even knew that she was capable of, Father. Lord, I ask you to bless her family, bless her home, Lord. Lord, I ask you every worry that she may have, Lord. I want to lay it at your feet, Father, and ask you, Father, you make it well, Father. Oh, grant it, Father, in Jesus' name, bless her with your presence, Lord.
Help her to be the revival, Father. Lord, as the prophet said, if I get one man in my hand, God get one man in his hand, Lord, you can do it, Father. Lord Jesus, I ask you, help her to be that one, Father. Lord, may she be that fire, Lord. Oh God, I ask you to give her the authority, Lord, that she says, I know who I am. I claim my children. I claim the thing that's in front of me. I claim my mountains, Lord. Lord, I commit her to you, Lord Jesus. I ask you, Lord, that you would shake mountains, Lord. You'd move rocks, oh God. Do whatever you've got to do. Be God, Father. I commit you, Lord Jesus. I'm calling on the name of Jesus Christ, Lord. I ask you, Father, bring revival, Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus, we want evidence of that other land, Father, that other side, Father, that we're not serving a dead God. We're not serving a dead gospel, but we're serving a God of power. Lord, you're a God of transforming power, Lord. I call on your name, Jesus. Have your way, Father.
The thought Brother Daniel had tonight, and that's something that I know that Christians think about, and they should be thinking about that, what they have become. And so I was saying a couple of days ago to someone, there is no reason why we can't have everything God has promised for this day. He has pulled out every stop. There is nothing hindering now. There is no greater message that we need. What God has given us right now will change our bodies. But before it changes our bodies, it'll make our hearts right. It'll make our relationships right. And there's no reason why we should go any further with things wrong.
Amen.
Right?
That's right.
And I have felt for some time now, and I've actually been saying it of the different ones, whatever, I think even in opening prayer tonight, I believe we're seeing God. We're beginning to see him do things that perhaps we've waited for and prayed for a long time. I've already started seeing fruits of it in myself that I'm watching, and I'm seeing God do things. And I'm going to tell you something. Get ready to start receiving them coming back.
Amen. Yes.
Get ready.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Yeah. What you heard tonight is exactly right. Listen, you can't do this in yourself. There's only one way. And that's to have the Holy Spirit working in your life.
Amen.
As he was talking about that, Peter denied the Lord. Peter had walked with the Lord. Peter had the keys.
That's right.
But when it come down to the press, he denied the Lord. And the reason why he did is because he had not had the Holy Ghost. He hadn't had a new birth yet. You can walk with the message. You can walk with mighty, powerful men who can pray for the sick, whatever. You can do all kinds of things, but until you have that birth, that Holy Ghost experience, you can't fight what's coming.
That's right.
And we're in an hour where the Lord's just not going to let us just ride along anymore. The overcoming power that we have to have in our lives We better get it.
Amen.
Right? It's available.
Amen.
And we got to get rid of the apathy.
Yes.
Apathy meaning no concern, just no, really not concerned about anything, knowing things might not be exactly right, and just not really giving it the proper concern. That's apathy.
Yes.
And we have to get rid of that, because God's going to have a people that step over on that other side, but before they step over, they're going to have it here. Right? They're going to have that character and nature of Christ, which is without denomination. Right? I didn't think about it. I watch it in the meetings over the weekend, just watching people, and Brother Daniel Stoddard, and thinking, what has this become? You know, what is it? Because there's a truth there, and it's what man has done. I've mentioned that a few times recently. It's what man has done to the message that turns people away. Mm-hmm. And so Peter failed because he didn't have that new birth yet. The Lord said, Satan's desire to sift you as wheat, but I have prayed for you that your faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen your brother.
Yes.
Right? Yeah. He didn't even have to have that experience yet, but he did later, obviously. And so look what the Lord did there. And so people want a deep experience with God. How about having an experience deep enough that you say no to your flesh? Mm-hmm. You quit saying yes and feeding the flesh things that entertain it and things that it likes or whatever. Learn to identify in your own walk as a Christian. Learn to identify what is it in my life that fights against my walk with the Lord, and start saying no to it.
Yes, amen.
And nobody can do that but you.
That's right.
Right? We're not saying something that hasn't been preached 100 times.
Right.
Right? But at some point, this people, this bride, in this message, had to learn this stuff and learn to be that invincible army.
Yeah.
To keep going and keep moving. God's got a people that do that. And so I just had written down things that come to my mind there. But how is it? I mean, he was talking about leaning towards Sodom. You can't do that without it influencing you.
Right.
How I thought this many times, and I don't think I've ever said this in a congregation, but how is it that Lot thought it would be okay to offer up his daughters to a bunch of thugs outside?
Yeah.
What kind of man would do that? He did that because he had been desensitized from the filth that was there in Sodom.
That's right.
And then later on, what in the world would cause his daughters to want to go and sleep with him?
Right.
They were desensitized.
Right.
Because they pitched their tent towards Sodom.
That's right.
You can't touch and mingle with this world and it not get you dirty.
Right.
And it will affect your walk.
Yes.
Right? And there's consequences for that. Right? And so, hey, the choices that people have made, I'll say this not just to anybody that will hear this, the choices you've made in this message and how you've dealt with it, how's it working for you? If things aren't exactly, if it's not manifesting in your life like it should, why not? It's not God, right? It's not Him. It's our response. So ask ourselves this question, like, what have we become? Amen. There's only one thing that will manifest the truth. Amen. I really appreciate what Brother Daniel said tonight.
Amen.
I can tell you that just in my own spirit and what I've been praying and the way I can tell you, just hand in glove. I'm not just saying that. But remember, we're held accountable for what we say behind this desk or anywhere else. Right? If people will just give God a chance.
Amen.
If people will do like Brother Daniel said, just Lord, one more time. I have fouled up. I've messed things up. One more time.
Amen. Yes. Amen.
Get rid of the apathy. If you're not sure of this message, get rid of the apathy.
Amen.
Get concerned.
Amen.
If you're not sure of your walk with the Lord, if you're not sure about the way you're running your family, your household, get rid of the apathy. And get down to business with God. There is no reason why we can't see victories in all these things in our lives that God has promised. Amen. And I really believe. You realize, I mean, I don't know how much people pay attention to things going on out in the world as far as but this nation has got barely a thread left holding it. It is so chaotic right now. The political scene has turned into hate. And everybody is so, and the prophet told us these things was coming. The spirit of it. You listen, he told us about all this stuff. And it's just, we could be in an absolute third world country tomorrow morning. And apathy says, yeah, it won't happen to us. There have been a lot of nations it did happen to. The people who had freedoms woke up and they were gone. And I'm not trying to scare people. I'm just saying, it looks to me like that God can take us home anytime. Yeah. Amen. We can say that. Been saying it for years. But how much more can it get out there until he does? Amen. And so I really appreciate what Brother Daniel had to say tonight. Let's just bow our heads and close with prayer again. Lord Jesus, we thank you, Lord, because of the words that you have sent tonight. God, I know they came straight from your throne. Lord, Brother Daniel didn't know anything about what was on my heart, about different things I'm seeing, working and moving. I know that he sees it too. He has a desire for these things too. And Lord, I pray that your people, all of us, and those who will listen later on, maybe listening now, would take this to heart tonight, because God has spoken to us. Lord, may you just continue to move us, and may each one of us say, Lord, one more time. Just once more, Lord. And this time, God, may we die in ourselves that we might win the victory for you.